And good morning to you. I am joined this morning on our Smart Garden Show by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Denny. I'm happy to be here.
Folks, looking forward to it. I can always tell, as you can, when we get closer and closer to spring, although this has been such crazy weather, we are getting more calls and texts faster.
Yes.
Earlier in the even before the show starts, and we're gonna get to them right away. I should alert our listeners, if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you are a regular listener to the show, we appreciate that certainly. But don't wait. If you have a question, by all means, love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. And of course, I mentioned, you know, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. We're going to talk about the Master Gardener program during this hour as well. I know Teresa's got some information, a lot of folks' interest in that. And again, looking at the forecast, crazy week. As I heard Al mention, we could hit 46 today, 61 on Monday, but then the overnight low, like Tuesday night, is 9.
So, Minnesota, just wait a few hours, the weather will change.
It'll change. Now, do you think, and I asked this before in previous shows, given the warmer temperatures, overnight lows are still cold enough, I hope, to not, I don't want those dormant seeds to start growing right now.
They won't, because the temperature has to be warmer for a longer period of time. So even at night, it has to be warmer. So the seeds know that. The seeds know, yeah. But so 60 tomorrow and then cold at night, that's not long enough. That 12-hour period or 10-hour period of 60 degrees, that's not warm enough to help them germinate.
That's
so
good.
Yes, you can still, overseed or dormant seed your lawn if you haven't gotten out there yet. This is a good time to do it. If you have any ability to put a little bit of something over the seeds to hide it, otherwise the birds are going to eat some of it. Just understand that will happen.
That's true. All right, 651-461-9226. Texter says this. I love the program. Thank you. Look forward to it every Saturday. I just wish it was on longer. Very good.
So do we.
Thank you. My question today is our grow garlic, and right now my garlic is covered with 4 to 5 inches of straw, and with the unusually warm weather, should I start to remove some of the straw now instead of waiting for another month? Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. You too.
That's an excellent question, and like you're thinking ahead, that's really good. I would wait until the temperatures are consistently above and they start getting consistently warmer. So I wouldn't cover them now, because right now with all that straw, the garlic still thinks it's like 25 degrees out there. So because the warmth hasn't penetrated to the straw through the straw yet. So I would just wait and wait until the temperatures start getting consistently warmer. You can always pull back the straw and see if the garlic's growing. But understand, if that garlic's up and growing and you pull off all the straw and we get a sudden deep freeze, you're gonna damage a lot of those leaves that are above ground. So even if they're coming up through the straw, they're a little bit more protected than not protected at all. I would wait.
All right, very good. Let's, Teresa, grab a phone call. Paul, I believe, is checking in from Ogilvie this morning. Hi, Paul. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi, good morning. Very good program. Listen to you every week.
Thank you. But
anyway, with this crazy weather, what about the pruning of my fruit trees?
Paul, that's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. Do you have more?
No.
No, okay.
My friends with maple trees, they've been tapping their trees, so,
Right. I probably would go ahead and prune my tree sooner rather than later. You might have been able to put it off to the middle of March other years. I would probably try to get it done as quickly as possible because with this crazy weather, we don't know when it's suddenly going to shift into hot or warm consistently, and you don't want to be pruning those fruit trees then. So I would prune them earlier rather than later, Paul. Get to it as quickly as possible. Good luck with that. Thanks for your question and your comment.
Okay. Last summer, Texter says, the vegetables in my four-year-old garden had lots of green foliage, but not much fruit compared to prior years. I most likely have too much nitrogen in the soil. What can I do this year to balance the soil out? Is it a good idea to take the year off and let the nitrogen work its way out of the soil?
That's a good question, and you don't have to take the year off. Nitrogen moves through the soil very quickly, gets used up very quickly. So what I would do is just make sure that you're looking for, if you're going to fertilize, that maybe you maybe get a soil test done. That would be a good idea, first of all, as a master gardener, I should tell you that. That will give you an idea of where you stand right now. But when you're fertilizing, if you had so much nitrogen before, think about where you grabbed all that fertilizer from, and look at that fertilizer and say, hey, maybe I should switch to a different kind or go a little easier on it. That's what I would do. But right now, the nitrogen has moved through the soil very quickly, so you're probably back down to regular levels. But do get your soil test if you ever have a problem like that.
And you can, as far as soil testing, you can get more information off the university website, right?
Exactly. Extension.umn.edu. You can find easily the information, or just say soil test UMN. It'll bring you right to the right area, the right web page. Or ask a master gardener how to do it.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced, too.
They're like $17.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Texter says this, Teresa, my houseplants seem stagnant. Should I start fertilizing them every week?
That's a good question. Your houseplants are just hanging on by a thread right now because it's been a long, dry, dark winter for them. So as the sunlight gets more prevalent, or you can add additional lights, once you start seeing the growth start, then you can fertilize. But right now, they're just in a kind of state of stasis. They're just waiting, but more light will trigger some growth. So as we get more sun, they'll start moving. Or if you can add additional lights, and then once you see the growth, then you can start fertilizing. And I would start at half strength and just go from there.
All right. If you'd like to call in your lawn or garden question or send a text, either way, we'd love to hear from you. It's 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those very questions this morning here on 830 WCCO. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Master Gardener program.
Okay.
That you know so much about. We'd love to have to kind of pick your brain about that, and I know other listeners want to hear it as well. So we'll do that when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back with our Smart Garden Show, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, 651-461-9226. Teresa, we mentioned before the break about the Master Gardener program. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about that very program?
All right. First of all, our interns are going through their training right now, so we'll soon see a crop of new master gardeners out there, so that's very exciting. But more important, I want you to be able to go to your extension website and see if your master gardener, county master gardeners, are putting on any classes. Here in Hennepin County, you can go to hennepinmastergardeners.org. We've got two series of classes coming up right now, and you can take them and retake them, and you'll get recordings, and they happen on more than one day, so you can do whatever day is good for you. Vegetables, veggie growing basics, and then our winter dreaming, summer eating series. So we've got those two series starting. We're starting our first class today, but don't worry, you can always catch up on it later if you miss it, so you can go and register, and it's all free. So check your county website to see if your gardeners are doing anything. And if you're out of state or out state, you can come to Hennepin County and just understand that the information we're giving you is for Minneapolis area, the Hennepin County area. So if you're up north, you'll just have to change it a little bit for your zone. But we'd love to have you join our classes.
That's
Thanks,
great.
Denny.
And let's, Teresa, plan on kind of briefly mentioning that before you leave us today,
okay.
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I think that might be a good idea. 651-461-9226. You know what? Mary in Eden Prairie has been waiting to ask a question. Thank you for waiting, Mary. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. I don't know if anybody has mentioned this. My tulips are coming up.
Oh, boy.
Mary, thanks for waiting. And yes, no one yet today has mentioned that, but we have heard a lot of that coming up. Little muscaris and tulips and things are peeking their heads up. Luckily, all that's coming up right now is leaves for most of those plants. So even if we get a heavy frost, the leaf damage is going to be minimal and all the flowers will still be okay. If you really want to, you could put a covering over it, you know, some straw or something. But don't worry about it. You really don't have to. The plants just got to grow when they got to grow, and they'll come up and they'll realize it's really, really cold out, and they kind of stop growing, and they'll just wait a little while. And then once the sun gets more intense and the warm weather comes in, they'll start growing more. But yes, we have heard about that. And if you go to the extension.umn.edu, there's actually an article on how the warm weather will affect your plants. And it does talk about some of that and what you can do to mitigate some problems that you may see.
It's going to be a very interesting spring and summer.
It's going to be an interesting year.
Very interesting. Let's see here. Oh, a bunch of text messages, Teresa. Here's another one. Late last summer, a texter says, I asked you about gall mites on our maple trees in our development. An arborist we contacted suggests they would spray using a product called Lucid. After doing some research, that product sounds, quote, scary. Could you recommend a more organic product?
You could ask. I can't recommend. I don't know Lucid. You could do some work on the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and some research there. The gall mites are just on the leaves, and it makes them look a little bumpy, but it doesn't normally impact the health of the tree unless there's so many that the tree can't photosynthesize anymore. But even if a few leaves look really bumpy, there's many leaves that won't be impacted by it. So if you want, you can contact your person again and say, do you have anything less impactful, less dangerous? Otherwise, it's your decision whether or not you want to spray. It's really just a cosmetic issue and does not impact the plant's health at all.
Getting a bunch of pruning questions this morning, trees mostly. This texter says, it doesn't say what kind. Is it okay to trim trees? If yes, how many more weeks? Maybe they mean oaks.
It really depends on what your tree is. So I would look at the extension website. Go ahead and prune those oaks. Go ahead and get your pruning done as soon as possible. As soon as possible. However, if you're going to be pruning trees or shrubs that bloom early in the season, like azaleas, rhododendrons, mock oranges, magnolias, understand that lilacs, what you prune, you're pruning off flowers. So you may want to wait until just after they flower, and that's when you prune those plants. Otherwise, I would look at the extension website and see what they say about pruning your particular tree or shrub.
Good idea. Texter says, is it okay to prune apple trees every other year?
Sure. It's whatever schedule you have. It's better to do your pruning in small amounts and not do a huge pruning one year. Remember, you want to take off only about a third of the whole entire canopy at one time. So if you have a tree that's really overgrown, it may take you 3 to 5 years to bring that tree back to what you need it to be. But it is okay. It just depends on why you're pruning it and how you're pruning it and how vigorous the tree is growing. If you're trying to keep it a dwarf or tree and shorter, you may have to prune every year to head back some of that growth. If that's not the case, then just prune as your tree needs it.
I know it's the end of February only, and I wonder how many, Teresa, of our listeners had started seeds indoors, and they're really anxious and maybe have a chance to bring it outdoor, kind of getting a jump on the season. That's a possibility. We don't know that yet for sure.
Right. If you have seedlings up and growing and they're nice and big and healthy and it's 60 degrees tomorrow, if you want to, you can go ahead and set them out in a shady area for an hour or two and then bring them back in. But otherwise, please read the seed packet. First of all, look at the Extension website. Find out when the last frost date is for your area. Then look at the seed packet, and it will tell you plant inside so many weeks before the last frost. Get a calendar, find your frost date, count back those number of weeks, and that's when you start your seeds. Most seeds shouldn't be planted yet. It's way too early. This is Minnesota. We can't plant outside till pretty late, so just wait. Be
good
patient.
Advice.
I know it's hard. But you could do some winter sowing. So you could Google winter sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, and you could plant some seeds in milk jugs and set them outside. So that then you could get your hands in the dirt if you need to. And I understand that need to get your hands in the dirt.
Okay.
Totally get it.
We're going
to
break for weather in a moment. But in the meantime, let's grab this text. Can I prune the dogwood bushes now?
Sure, you can prune your dogwood, and you can go as far back as you want to. They can regrow from the very base if you want to. Sure, go ahead and prune your dogwood.
All right, very good. You know what we should do? I don't want to keep people waiting. Dennis, let's grab another call. Sharon is calling in from Ramsey this morning. Hi, Sharon. What is your question?
My question is about seeding and using the pre-emergence fertilizer. If I use that in the spring, then when can I seed my grass after that?
When you put that down, it will tell you you can reseed after so many weeks or months, and it's usually like 6 to 9 weeks. So you want to look, and that's when you would be seeding. And then if you think about that, that puts you in the middle of the summer, and you definitely don't want to seed then. So that may mean that if you need to, you maybe put down another pre-emergent, and you just wait till fall in end of August, beginning of September to seed.
All right, very good.
Good luck with that, Sharon.
All right, very good. We'll take a bit of a break here. We have about another half hour of the show to go, so if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Back with more of our Smart Garden Show here this Saturday morning on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show on A30WCC. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those very questions for you at 651-461-9226. Teresa, I just got a note from our friend Julie Weisenhorn thanking you for being a part of the show, and we thank you, too. We, meaning the U of M, has a new video on pruning. We get a lot of pruning questions this morning. We have a new video on pruning shrubs on the trees and shrub section, the first of three of them. So again, Teresa mentioned it, extension.umn.edu, and you can check out those new videos. Thanks, Julie, for
thank you, Julie. They're always putting cool
that.
Stuff up there.
Yeah,
so that's why you need to check out the extension site often.
Oh, yeah. Great, great information.
Yeah.
We're very proud of that, and I know you and your colleagues are as well. All right, let's see who else we can help out here. When to prune French hydrangea trees that still have blossoms on them?
It depends on whether or not they bloom on old or new wood. I would do some research on that to see how it blooms. And if it blooms on old wood, then whatever you're pruning, you could be pruning off flowers. If it blooms on new wood, then you just can prune as to what you need for shape and size.
All right. Let's grab a phone call this morning from Maple Grove. I do believe Pat is calling in. Pat, you're on CCO. What is your question, please?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a house plant that I was given as a gift. It's called a Geo or Geogenanthus ciliatus. It's a plant, and it has real deep, deep purple leaves, almost black. But the leaves are starting to get brown around the edges, and I've looked up a little bit online, but and it says it needs lots of water. And so I got a plate underneath with rocks that I keep filling with water, but those leaves keep getting brown on the edge. I don't know if I don't know what to do with it.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with that plant, but you're going in the right direction there. You're doing a good job, Pat. What you might want to also consider is that when you water, make sure that you're watering with room temperature water, and you may even for a little while want to go out and buy a bucket, a gallon of distilled water and use that when you're watering the plant, not for the humidity. Some plants are susceptible to the chlorine and chloramide and everything else that and fluoride that we have in our water. I don't know if this plant is one of those. That's one thing. Make sure that you're not over-fertilizing it. But I think you're doing everything right. Sometimes the leaves just brown up because our houses are so dry. You may even want to, if you have a humidifier, maybe move it closer to the plant so the plant can get a little more humidity. But I'm sorry, I'm not that familiar with the plant. So what I would suggest, okay, go to the Extension website, take some pictures of the plant, go to the Extension website, go down to the part where it says Ask a Master Gardener, and click on that, and you can actually send up to 3 photos to a Master Gardener, let them know the exact plant, and they can do some research and get a lot of good information for you. And that will keep them busy so they don't get bored.
All right, very good. Texter says this, Teresa, store-bought lawn soil contains quite a bit of wood in it. Will this hamper grass seed growth, you think?
Wow. Soil should not contain wood.
I've seen it, though.
I've seen it, too, sometimes, yeah. It probably won't. It's just, it probably, oh, geez. I would watch when the seeds come up. If there's a lot of wood in there, sometimes you may have a nitrogen where it's being pulled from the soil away from the plants. But then once those little bits of wood decompose, they release it, so you get a nitrogen burn. So your grass might be a little pale when it first comes up, and if it doesn't turn normal color in a week or two or three, then I would fertilize lightly with a maybe a lawn fertilizer. But it won't impact the seed germination probably. I would just worry later on down the road how that nitrogen. So just watch it. You may have to do some adjustments on there.
Okay. Question is, do black walnut trees alternate years for producing walnuts?
It's possible. It is possible. Trees will mast with a bunch of other trees in their area all 1 year, and some years the plant produces so much, so many nuts that it's a little lacking in energy the next year, and it goes off on and off. Some years it's just droughty and they don't have the energy to produce the seeds. So it can be extremely variable. So there will be years where you don't see much, and then all of a sudden 1 year you may see a whole bunch.
Okay. This listener, by the way, if you want to call in or text in your lawn or garden question, by all means, just one number will do it. 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, when should I remove the burlap from my pine trees?
I would probably remove that now. Because it's getting the hot weather, and it gets really warm in there, and you don't want to cook that plant. So if you want to wait till after Wednesday or Thursday when it's supposed to be a little cooler and you're a little worried about it, but I would start to remove that now, yes.
Texter wants to know, can I trim a birch tree now?
Oh, you might be seeing some sap flowing if you're going to prune your birch trees, just like you would see the maple tree sapping out now, too. But if you have to prune, you have to prune. Just understand that sap could run out of the tree and disfigure some of the bark if you're growing it for the bark. If you don't have to prune, then don't. I would prune earlier rather than later. You don't want to be inviting any bronze birch borers or anything into your newly pruned birch tree. So if you have to prune, prune it right away, and just understand some sap may run.
Okay. Kind of a follow-up. Can we clean up our hydrangeas, like trim them back?
again, go ahead and trim off all those dead, the dead flowers if you want to. That's fine. Anything that's dead, you can prune back. You have to understand whether your hydrangea blooms on new wood or old wood. And if it blooms on the new wood, you can prune to your heart's content because it will send up new growth or send out new growth, and the new growth is where the flowers are going to be. If it blooms on the old wood, those buds were set last year. So anything that you prune off now, you're pruning off flowers. If you have to prune and you have a hydrangea that sets on old wood, just understand you won't see as many flowers this year, but maybe you need to get that size or that shape back down to a reasonable level, and you have to be then willing to sacrifice the blooms this one year. You'll still get a few blooms because you won't catch every branch, but you'll just have a lot less.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show. By the way, we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour doing that very thing, our Smart Garden Show. A woodpecker evidently made a silver dollar size hole on the top of a listener's Honeycrisp tree, a large branch. They have a question. What do I do?
There's not much you can do. If it just made one hole, I wouldn't worry too much about it. The tree, when it comes out of dormancy, will seal up that hole as best as it can. And I would just watch that branch just in case. But if the woodpecker starts drilling a lot of holes in your trees, that means they're hearing and finding insects to eat. So in that way, you may want to have a certified arborist come out and check your tree. But sometimes they may even just be drilling because it makes a wonderful noise and they're declaring territory, which I would think I would start hearing right now. A lot of complaints about woodpeckers drilling on the sides of homes and that.
Absolutely.
Maybe the branch just didn't turn out to be such a good drum, so he's going to find somewhere else to peck to.
Teresa, another critter question. How do you get rid of moles? Oh, they can do so a lot of damage.
Okay, first of all, you have to decide if you have a mole or a vole. So the mole with an M will eat insects and worms and grubs. The vole with a V likes to chew on the vegetative roots of your plants. Now, sometimes if you have a lot of moles, they may be so active that they're disturbing the roots of your plants, and so then your plants may be impacted. So you have to figure out, first of all, which one you have, and then go to the extension website, and they'll tell you a few things to do, but understand those little critters living underground are really hard to get rid of. You may have to resort to kill traps if you're into that. With moles, you can also use some of the products that say, like, they'll be kill traps if you're into that. With moles, you can also use some of the products that say, like, there'll be four moles, and what basically they are is castor oil. But use the products on the shelf. Don't just make up your own cool castor oil combination. And what you want to do is start in one area and apply the product. Give it a week or two, three, and then apply the product a little further out and then a little further out, rather than trying to drench your whole yard. What you're trying to do is drive the mole away gently, rather than trying to trap it in an area where then it may just cause more damage. Yeah. But you have to figure out which one you have, go to the extension website, and if it's a mole, you can use the mole products.
Speaking of the extension website, Julie wanted to remind our listeners, too, that there's also, because we're getting a lot of questions about hydrangeas, there's a video also on pruning hydrangeas on the Trees and Shrubs webpage. So keep that in mind.
There's videos for everything on there.
Absolutely.
Julie's got it going on.
Extension.umn.edu. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on CCO. This morning, Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions. And Teresa, as usual, we still have a bunch. So let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Yeah, and please, again, before you do, let's talk about that Master Gardener program briefly, if you can. Texter says, I have some overwintered geraniums They're very leggy now. I have moved them near a window, but not in direct sunlight. How do I transition them outdoors without killing them?
So what you want to do to transition them outdoors is on warm days, you scent them out in the sun, in the shade at first for maybe 2 or 3 days. You'll need to bring them in at night when it's chilly. And then you move them into a little less shady area for 2 or 3 days. Bring them in at night when it's chilly. And then finally, they should be used to the sun. It's just like us getting used to the sun. We burn really easy, but eventually we get a little tan. So that's what you're trying to do to your geraniums. Help them get strong enough to withstand the sunshine and the
Very
wind.
Good. My boxwoods are uncovered and exposed to the sun. Should I be concerned about sun damage at this time?
You shouldn't if you watered your boxwoods really well in the fall. If you didn't, there may be issues there. If the ground has thawed out, and I would take like a long something you might use as a skewer or something, and then go a little ways away from the boxwood and sink the skewer into the soil. And if you can easily penetrate down, say, 6 to 10 inches, then you know the soil has thawed 6 to 10 inches, so you can give it a drink of water. If you go down half an inch, and then it's suddenly frozen again, you can't water your, you shouldn't water your plants because the water will just run off and not do anything.
Okay. This listener sent a text that says, I got a Christmas cactus. The blossoms fell off. How can I revive it? Your show is great. Well, thank you for that. Is that revivable?
Well, thank you. Sure. What happens when the blossoms fall off very easily when they're moved, when they change weather conditions? You're done for the year with that Christmas cactus. It flowers once a year. So now you'll just have a beautiful green foliage plant inside. You can put it outside, get it used to being outside, transition it outside, bring it in again in the fall, and it should start to set blossoms, and just put it in a place where it's not going to be knocked. It'll be just fine. And again, you could go to our extension website, and they have some great information on those Christmas cacti. Cactus.
Okay. I have, Texter says, a green variegated ivy that I brought in from last summer. I tried to cut off the vines, but they just don't seem to root. Any ideas what I can do?
What you might want to try is, instead of cutting them off, maybe make just a little tiny nick in the bottom of the vine, and then put a pot of soil next to there, and with a pin or a little U-shaped object, just or a little rock, just set that vine on the soil so that broken part of the vine actually touches the soil, and have the plant root out from there. It'll still get some nutrition from the mother plant, but eventually it should start to put down roots in that broken area. Then you can cut it off from the mother plant once that starts happening, and then you'll have a new plant.
Okay. This listener says this, I have a Chinese lilac that hasn't been blooming. It has a lot of branches. Would pruning some of them off help, do you think?
It could, but probably what you're dealing with is a lack of sunlight in that area. If it's not in full sun, it will eventually just not bloom for you. So if you want to prune it back again, you could look at pruning lilacs in the extension website. You may want to even give it a light fertilizer in the spring. However, whatever flower buds are there, they were set last year, so that's not going to help for this year's flowering. But if you need to maybe prune out and just lighten it up so more sunlight gets to more branches, that could possibly help to invigorate its growth with flowers.
Another pruning question, this time specifically for oak trees. Can you prune dead branches off oak trees still this month?
Yes, a dead is dead. You want to get that out of there as quickly as possible. If you leave dead branches in trees, if we get winds like we're going to have today or a storm, that dead wood can actually break of living branches, or fall on somebody unexpectedly, or fall on your house or your car or your child or your dog. So you want to prune out dead stuff. You want to get that dead branch out right away as soon as possible.
That's a good point. Let's talk a little bit. Some folks may have missed your comments about the Master Gardener program or programs. Tell us again if you can in a minute
or so. Sure. Sure. And just before I do that, I just want to say hi to the nice lady I met at the Home and Garden Show yesterday. She listens to WCCO and loves it. So the Master Gardener programs, the interns are studying now, so we're getting a new crop of interns. We're excited about that. But all of the counties or many of the counties may have classes going on, and those classes are free to you. So check your local extension website to see if they have classes. Here in Hennepin County, we open our classes to everyone. We even get out of state, like from Colorado people listening to us. So they're free classes. We have two series coming up. We have veggie growing basics and winter dreaming summer eating classes, all about growing vegetables. You can find that at HennepinMasterGardeners.org. Or if you get directed to our Facebook, you can find it there too. So there's lots of classes out there, and they're all free.
And I've asked you this before. Are you seeing, or are the folks in the Master Gardener program seeing more, let's say, younger people and more guys instead of ladies?
We are. We have a really good mix of younger and older people. We're seeing a lot more younger people come in. That doesn't mean we don't want the people who know stuff. If you're a little more advanced and aged, we still want you as a master gardener. So we want everybody to come into our program and learn about gardening and help to teach their neighbors and their community about gardening with research.
Because that's what it's about. Master gardeners are really educators, aren't you?
We're educators. That's what we do. We take research-based information from the university and share it with our community. We learn how to research and get good information for you so that what we're giving you isn't some weird woo-woo kind of stuff. We're giving you research science-based information so you can have success, because we want you to be successful.
And you know what we have not mentioned this morning as we take our leave is get to the Arboretum.
Oh, get to the Arboretum. They've got a beautiful flower show going on, and there's mosaics and mirrors in there. So, yeah, get to the Arboretum. You need that breath of green right now, and that'll maybe save you from starting your seeds too early.
And it's easy. You have to go online to reserve your spot. It makes parking really easy getting in there and enjoy it. Well, what a great weekend that would be.
Yeah, and it'll be a great weekend and a great day tomorrow to head out to the Arboretum, take a walk along 3 Mile Drive, just see the beauty that's around
Excellent.
Us.
Teresa, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for helping us out this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Bye, everybody.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, coming along next hour, it's an encore performance, as we like to say. What that really means is the next hour with Andy Lindis has been pre-recorded, and it's a repeat performance. That's coming along next hour. In the meantime, high today near 46, going to be a breezy day. We could hit 61 on Monday, but again, temperatures dropping, then back up again to 54 by the end of the week. Just a quick reminder, I'll be filling in for Susie Jones tomorrow morning. We're going to have our friend twisted his arm. Dr. David Hilden is going to be joining us on the Health Hour tomorrow morning, answering any kind of a health question you may have. So we hope you join us then here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning to you. I am joined this morning on our Smart Garden Show by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Denny. I'm happy to be here.
Folks, looking forward to it. I can always tell, as you can, when we get closer and closer to spring, although this has been such crazy weather, we are getting more calls and texts faster.
Yes.
Earlier in the even before the show starts, and we're gonna get to them right away. I should alert our listeners, if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and if you are a regular listener to the show, we appreciate that certainly. But don't wait. If you have a question, by all means, love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. And of course, I mentioned, you know, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. We're going to talk about the Master Gardener program during this hour as well. I know Teresa's got some information, a lot of folks interested in that. And again, looking at the forecast, crazy week. As I heard Al mention, we could hit 46 today, 61 on Monday, but then the overnight low, like Tuesday night, is 9.
So, Minnesota, just wait a few hours. The weather will change.
It'll change. Now, do you think, and I asked this before in previous shows, given the warmer temperatures, overnight lows are still cold enough, I hope, to not. I don't want those dormant seeds to start growing right now.
They won't, because the temperature has to be warmer for a longer period of time. So even at night, it has to be warmer. So the seeds know that. The seeds know, yeah. But they, so 60 tomorrow and then cold at night, that's not long enough. That 12-hour period or 10-hour period of 60 degrees,
yeah,
that's not warm enough to help them germinate.
That's
so
good.
Yes, you can still, you know, overseed or dormant seed your lawn if you haven't gotten out there yet. This is a good time to do it. If you have any ability to put a little bit of something over the seeds to hide it, otherwise the birds are going to eat some of it. Just understand that will happen.
That's true. All right, 651-461-9226. Texter says this: I love the program. Thank you. Look forward to it to every Saturday. I just wish it was on longer. Very good.
So do we.
Thank you. My question today is our grow garlic, and right now my garlic is covered with 4 to 5 inches of straw, and with the unusually warm weather, should I start to remove some of the straw now instead of waiting for another month? Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. You too.
That's an excellent question, and like you're thinking ahead, that's really good. I would wait until the temperatures are consistently above and they start getting consistently warmer. So I wouldn't cover them now, because right now with all that straw, the garlic still thinks it's like 25 degrees out there. So because the warmth hasn't penetrated to the straw, through the straw yet. So I would just wait and wait until the temperatures start getting consistently warmer. You can always pull back the straw and see if the garlic's growing. But understand, if that garlic's up and growing and you pull off all the straw and we get a sudden deep freeze, you're gonna damage a lot of those leaves that are above ground. So even if they're coming up through the straw, they're a little bit more protected than not protected at all. I would wait.
All right, very good. Let's, Teresa, grab a phone call. Paul, I believe, is checking in from Ogilvie this morning. Hi, Paul. What's your question for Teresa?
Hi, good morning. Very good program. Listen to you every week.
Thank you.
But anyway, with this crazy weather, what about the pruning of my fruit trees?
Paul, that's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. Do you have more?
No. No,
okay.
My friends would... With maple trees, they've been tapping their trees, so, you know.
Right.
I
probably would go ahead and prune my tree sooner rather than later. You might have been able to put it off to the middle of March other years. I would probably try to get it done as quickly as possible, because with this crazy weather, we don't know when it's suddenly going to shift into hot or warm consistently, and you don't want to be pruning those fruit trees then. So I would prune them earlier rather than later, Paul. Get to it as quickly as possible. Good luck with that. Thanks for your question and your comment.
Okay. Last summer, Texter says, the vegetables in my 4-year-old garden had lots of green foliage, but not much fruit compared to prior years. I most likely have too much nitrogen in the soil. What can I do this year to balance the soil out? Is it a good idea to take the year off and let the nitrogen work its way out of the soil?
That's a good question, and you don't have to take the year off. Nitrogen moves through the soil very quickly, gets used up very quickly. So what I would do is just make sure that you're looking for, if you're going to fertilize, that maybe you get a soil test done. That would be a good idea, first of all. As a master gardener, I should tell you that. That will give you an idea of where you stand right now. But when you're fertilizing, if you had so much nitrogen before, think about where you grabbed all that fertilizer from, and look at that fertilizer and say, hey, maybe I should switch to a different kind or go a little easier on it. That's what I would do. But right now, the nitrogen has moved through the soil very quickly, so you're probably back down to regular levels. But do get your soil test if you ever have a problem like that.
And you can, as far as soil testing, you can get more information off the university website, right?
Exactly. Extend.
And you can, as far as soil testing, you can get more information off the university website, right?
Exactly. Extension.umn.edu. You can find easily the information, or just say soil test UMN. It'll bring you right to the right area, the right web page. Or ask a master gardener how to do it.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced, too.
They're like $17.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Texter says this, Teresa, my houseplants seem stagnant. Should I start fertilizing them every week?
That's a good question. Your houseplants are just hanging on by a thread right now because it's been a long, dry, dark winter for them. So as the sunlight gets more prevalent, or you can add additional lights, once you start seeing the growth start, then you can fertilize. But right now, they're just in a kind of state of stasis. They're just waiting, but more light will trigger some growth. So as we get more sun, they'll start moving. Or if you can add additional lights, and then once you see the growth, then you can start fertilizing. And I would start at half strength and just go from there.
All right. If you'd like to call in your lawn and garden question or send a text, either way, we'd love to hear from you. It's 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those very questions this morning here on 830 WCCO. Teresa, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Master Gardener program.
Okay.
That you know so much about. We'd love to have to kind of pick your brain about that, and I know other listeners want to hear it as well. So we'll do that when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back with our Smart Garden Show, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, 651-461-9226. Teresa, we mentioned before the break about the Master Gardener program. Why don't you fill us in a little bit about that very program?
All right. First of all, our interns are going through their training right now, so we'll soon see a crop of new master gardeners out there, so that's very exciting. But more important, I want you to be able to go to your extension website and see if your master gardener, county master gardeners, are putting on any classes. Here in Hennepin County, you can go to hennepinmastergardeners.org. We've got two series of classes coming up right now, and you can take them and retake them, and you'll get recordings, and they happen on more than one day, so you can do whatever day is good for you. Vegetables, veggie growing basics, and then our winter dreaming, summer eating series. So we've got those two series starting. We're starting our first class today, but don't worry, you can always catch up on it later if you miss it, so you can go and register, and it's all free. So check your county website to see if your gardeners are doing anything. And if you're out of state or out state, you can come to Hennepin County and just understand that the information we're giving you is for Minneapolis area, the Hennepin County area. So if you're up north, you'll just have to change it a little bit for your zone. But we'd love to have you join our classes.
That's
Thanks,
great.
Denny.
And let's, Teresa, plan on kind of briefly mentioning that before you leave us today,
okay.
too.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I think that might be a good idea. 651-461-9226. You know what? Mary in Eden Prairie has been waiting to ask a question. Thank you for waiting, Mary. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. I don't know if anybody has mentioned this. My tulips are coming up.
Oh boy.
Mary, thanks for waiting. And yes, no one yet today has mentioned that, but we have heard a lot of that coming up. The little muscaris and tulips and things are peeking their heads up. Luckily, all that's coming up right now is leaves for most of those plants. So even if we get a heavy frost, the leaf damage is going to be minimal and all the flowers will still be okay. If you really want to, you could put a covering over it, you know, some straw or something. But don't worry about it. You really don't have to. The plants just got to grow when they got to grow, and they'll come up and they'll realize it's really, really cold out, and they kind of stop growing and they'll just wait a little while. And then once the sun gets more intense and the warm weather comes in, they'll start growing more. But yes, we have heard about that. And if you go to the extension.umn.edu, there's actually an article on how the warm weather will affect your plants. And it does talk about some of that and what you can do to mitigate some problems that you may see.
It's going to be a very interesting spring and summer.
It's going to be an interesting year, yes.
Very interesting. Let's see here. Oh, a bunch of text messages, Teresa. Here's another one. Late last summer, a texter says, I asked you about gall mites on our maple trees in our development. An arborist we contacted suggests they would spray using a product called Lucid. After doing some research, that product sounds, quote, scary. Could you recommend a more organic product?
You could ask. I can't recommend. I don't know Lucid. You could do some work on the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and some research there. The gall mites are just on the leaves, and it makes them look a little bumpy, but it doesn't normally impact the health of the tree unless there's so many that the tree can't photosynthesize anymore. But even if a few leaves look really bumpy, there's many leaves that won't be impacted by it. So if you want, you can contact your person again and say, do you have anything less impactful, less dangerous? Otherwise, it's your decision whether or not you want to spray. It's really just a cosmetic issue and does not impact the plant's health at all.
Getting a bunch of pruning questions this morning, trees mostly. This texter says, it doesn't say what kind. Is it okay to trim trees? If yes, how many more weeks? Maybe they mean oaks.
It really depends on what your tree is. So I would look at the Extension website. Go ahead and prune those oaks. Go ahead and get your pruning done as soon as possible. As soon as possible. However, if you're going to be pruning trees or shrubs that bloom early in the season, like azaleas, rhododendrons, mock oranges, magnolias, understand that lilacs, what you prune, you're pruning off flowers. So you may want to wait until just after they flower, and that's when you prune those plants. Otherwise, I would look at the Extension website and see what they say about pruning your particular tree or shrub.
Good idea. Texter says, is it okay to prune apple trees every other year?
Sure. It's whatever schedule you have. It's better to do your pruning in small amounts and not do a huge pruning one year. Remember, you want to take off only about a third of the whole entire canopy at one time. So if you have a tree that's really overgrown, it may take you 3 to 5 years to bring that tree back to what you need it to be. But it is okay. It just depends on why you're pruning it and how you're pruning it and how vigorous the tree is growing. If you're trying to keep it a dwarf or tree and shorter, you may have to prune every year to head back some of that growth. If that's not the case, then just prune as your tree needs it.
I know it's the end of February only, and I wonder how many, Teresa, of our listeners had started seeds indoors and they're really anxious and maybe have a chance to bring it outdoor, kind of getting a jump on the season. That's a possibility. We don't know that yet for sure.
Right. If you have seedlings up and growing and they're nice and big and healthy and it's 60 degrees tomorrow, if you want to, you can go ahead and set them out in a shady area for an hour or two and then bring them back in. But otherwise, please read the seed packet. First of all, look at the Extension website. Find out when the last frost date is for your area. Then look at the seed packet, and it will tell you plant inside so many weeks before the last frost. Get a calendar, find your frost date, count back those number of weeks, and that's when you start your seeds. Most seeds shouldn't be planted yet. It's way too early. This is Minnesota. We can't plant outside till pretty late, so just wait. Be
good
patient.
Advice.
I know it's hard. But you could do some winter sowing. So you could Google winter sowing, S-O-W-I-N-G, and you could plant some seeds in milk jugs and set them outside. So that then you could get your hands in the dirt if you need to. And I understand that need to get your hands in the dirt.
Okay.
Totally get it.
We're going to break for weather in a moment, but in the meantime, let's grab this text. Can I prune the dogwood bushes now?
Sure, you can prune your dogwood, and you can go as far back as you want to. They can regrow from the very base if you want to. Sure, go ahead and prune your dogwood.
All right, very good. You know what we should do? I don't want to keep people waiting. Dennis, let's grab another call. Sharon is calling in from Ramsey this morning. Hi, Sharon. What is your question?
My question is about seeding and using the pre-emergence fertilizer. If I use that in the spring, then when can I seed my grass after that?
When you put that down, it will tell you you can reseed after so many weeks or months, and it's usually like 6 to 9 weeks. So you want to look, and that's when you would be seeding. And then if you think about that, that puts you in the middle of the summer, and you definitely don't want to seed then. So that may mean that if you need to, you maybe put down another pre-emergent, and you just wait till fall and end of August, beginning of September to seed.
All right, very good.
Good luck with that, Sharon.
All right, very good. We'll take a bit of a break here. We have about another half hour of the show to go, so if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Back with more of our Smart Garden Show here this Saturday morning on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show on A3OWCC. We're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those very questions for you at 651-461-9226. Teresa, I just got a note from our friend Julie Weisenhorn thanking you for being a part of the show, and we thank you too. We, meaning the U of M, has a new video on pruning. We get a lot of pruning questions this morning. We have a new video on pruning shrubs on the trees and shrubs section, the first of three of them. So again, Teresa mentioned it, extension.umn.edu, and you can check out those new videos. Thanks, Julie, for
thank you, Julie. They're always putting cool stuff up there.
Yeah,
so that's why you need to check out the extension site often.
Oh, yeah. Great, great information.
Yeah.
We're very proud of that, and I know you and your colleagues are as well. All right, let's see who else we can help out here. When to prune French hydrangea trees that still have blossoms on them?
It depends on whether or not they bloom on old or new wood. I would do some research on that to see how it blooms. And if it blooms on old wood, then whatever you're pruning, you could be pruning off flowers. If it blooms on new wood, then you just can prune as to what you need for shape and size.
All right. Let's grab a phone call this morning from Maple Grove. I do believe Pat is calling in. Pat, you're on CCO. What is your question, please?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a house plant that I was given as a gift. It's called a Geo or Geogenanthus ciliatus. It's a plant and it has real deep, deep purple leaves, almost black. But the leaves are starting to get brown around the edges, and I've looked up a little bit online, but and it says it needs lots of water, and so I got a plate underneath with rocks that I keep filling with water, but those leaves keep getting brown on the edge. I don't know what to do with it.
Okay, so I'm not familiar with that plant, but you're going in the right direction there. You're doing a good job, Pat. What you might want to also consider is that when you water, make sure that you're watering with room temperature water, and you may even for a little while want to go out and buy a gallon of distilled water and use that when you're watering the plant, not for the humidity. Some plants are susceptible to the chlorine and chloramide and everything else and fluoride that we have in our water. I don't know if this plant is one of those. That's one thing. Make sure that you're not over-fertilizing it. But I think you're doing everything right. Sometimes the leaves just brown up because our houses are so dry. You may even want to, if you have a humidifier, maybe move it closer to the plant so the plant can get a little more humidity. but I'm sorry, I'm not that familiar with the plant. So what I would suggest, okay, go to the Extension website, take some pictures of the plant, go to the Extension website, go down to the part where it says Ask a Master Gardener, and click on that, and you can actually send up to 3 photos to a Master Gardener, let them know the exact plant, and they can do some research and get a lot of good information for you, and that will keep them busy so they don't get bored.
All right, very good. Texter says this, Teresa, store-bought lawn soil contains quite a bit of wood in it. Will this hamper grass seed growth, you think?
Wow. Soil should not contain wood.
I've seen it, though.
I've seen it, too, sometimes, yeah. It probably won't. It's just, it probably, oh, geez. I would watch when the seeds come up. If there's a lot of wood in there, sometimes you may have a nitrogen where it's being pulled from the soil away from the plants. But then once those little bits of wood decompose, they release it, so you get a nitrogen burn. So your grass might be a little pale when it first comes up, and if it doesn't turn normal color in a week or two or three, then I would fertilize lightly with a maybe a lawn fertilizer. But it won't impact the seed germination probably. I would just worry later on down the road how that nitrogen. So just watch it. You may have to do some adjustments on there.
Okay. Question is, do black walnut trees alternate years for producing walnuts?
It's possible. It is possible. Trees will mast with a bunch of other trees in their area all 1 year, and some years the plant produces so much, so many nuts that it's a little lacking in energy the next year, and it goes off on and off. Some years it's just droughty and they don't have the energy to produce the seeds. So it can be extremely variable. So there will be years where you don't see much, and then all of a sudden 1 year you may see a whole bunch.
Okay. This listener, by the way, if you want to call in or text in your lawn or garden question, by all means, just one number will do it. 651-461-9226. Texter wants to know, when should I remove the burlap from my pine trees?
I would probably remove that now, and because you it's getting the hot weather, and it gets really warm in there, and you don't want to cook that plant. So if you want to wait till after Wednesday or Thursday when it's supposed to be a little cooler and you're a little worried about it, but I would start to remove that now, yes.
Texter wants to know, can I trim a birch tree now?
Oh, you might be seeing some sap flowing if you're going to prune your birch trees, just like you would see the maple trees sapping out now, too. But if you have to prune, you have to prune. Just understand that sap could run out of the tree and disfigure some of the bark if you're growing it for the bark. If you don't have to prune, then don't. I would prune earlier rather than later. You don't want to be inviting any bronze birch borers or anything into your newly pruned birch tree. So if you have to prune, prune it right away, and just understand some sap may run.
Okay. Kind of a follow-up. Can we clean up our hydrangeas, like trim them back?
Again, go ahead and trim off all those dead flowers if you want to. That's fine. Anything that's dead, you can prune back. You have to understand whether your hydrangea blooms on new wood or old wood. And if it blooms on the new wood, you can prune to your heart's content, because it will send up new growth or send out new growth, and the new growth is where the flowers are going to be. If it blooms on the old wood, those buds were set last year. So anything that you prune off now, you're pruning off flowers. If you have to prune and you have a hydrangea that sets on old wood, just understand you won't see as many flowers this year, but maybe you need to get that size or that shape back down to a reasonable level, and you have to be then willing to sacrifice the blooms this 1 year. You'll still get a few blooms because you won't catch every branch, but you'll just have a lot less.
If you're just joining us, Master Gardener Teresa Runa answering those lawn and garden questions on our Smart Garden Show. By the way, we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour doing that very thing, our Smart Garden Show. A woodpecker evidently made a silver dollar size hole on the top of a listener's Honeycrisp tree, a large branch. They have a question. What do I do?
There's not much you can do. If it just made one hole, I wouldn't worry too much about it. The tree, when it comes out of dormancy, will seal up that hole as best as it can. And I would just watch that branch just in case. But if the woodpecker starts drilling a lot of holes in your trees, that means they're hearing and finding insects to eat. So in that way, you may want to have a certified arborist come out and check your tree. But sometimes they may even just be drilling because it makes a wonderful noise and they're declaring territory, which I would start hearing right now. A lot of complaints about woodpeckers drilling on the sides of homes and that.
Absolutely.
Maybe the branch just didn't turn out to be such a good drum, so he's going to find somewhere else to peck to.
Teresa, another critter question. How do you get rid of moles? Oh, they can do so a lot of damage.
Okay, first of all, you have to decide if you have a mole or a vole. So the mole with an M will eat insects and worms and grubs. The vole with a V likes to chew on the vegetative roots of your plants. Now, sometimes if you have a lot of moles, they may be so active that they're disturbing the roots of your plants, and so then your plants may be impacted. So you have to figure out, first of all, which one you have, and then go to the Extension website, and they'll tell you a few things to do, but understand those little critters living underground are really hard to get rid of. You may have to resort to kill traps if you're into that. With moles, you can also use some of the products that say, like, there'll be four moles, and what basically they are is castor oil. But use the products on the shelf. Don't just make up your own cool castor oil combination. And what you want to do is start in one area and apply the product. Give it a week or two, three, and then apply the product a little further out and then a little further out, rather than trying to drench your whole yard. What you're trying to do is drive the mole away gently, rather than trying to trap it in an area where then it may just cause more damage. Yeah. But you have to figure out which one you have, go to the Extension website, and if it's a mole, you can use the mole products.
Speaking of the Extension website, Julie wanted to remind our listeners, too, that there's also, because we're getting a lot of questions about hydrangeas, there's a video also on pruning hydrangeas on the Trees and Shrubs webpage. So keep that in mind.
There's videos for everything on there.
Absolutely.
Julie's got it going on.
Extension.umn.edu. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on CCO. This morning, Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering those questions. And Teresa, as usual, we still have a bunch. So let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave. Yeah, and please, again, before you do, let's talk about that Master Gardener program briefly,
if you
can. Texter says, I have some overwintered geraniums. They're very leggy now. I have moved them near a window, but not in direct sunlight. How do I transition them outdoors without killing them?
So what you want to do to transition them outdoors is, on warm days, you scent them out in the sun, in the shade at first for maybe 2 or 3 days. You'll need to bring them in at night when it's chilly. And then you move them into a little less shady area for 2 or 3 days, bring them in at night when it's chilly. And then finally, they should be used to the sun. It's just like us getting used to the sun. We burn really easy, but eventually we get a little tan. So that's what you're trying to do to your geraniums. Help them get strong enough to withstand the sunshine and the wind.
My boxwoods are uncovered and exposed to the sun. Should I be concerned about sun damage at this time?
You shouldn't if you watered your boxwoods really well in the fall. If you didn't, there may be issues there. If the ground has thawed out, and I would take like a long something you might use as a skewer or something, and then go a little ways away from the boxwood and sink the skewer into the soil. And if you can easily penetrate down, say, 6 to 10 inches, then you know the soil has thawed 6 to 10 inches, so you can give it a drink of water. If you go down half an inch and then it's suddenly frozen again, you shouldn't water your plants, because the water will just run off and not do anything.
Okay. This listener sent a text that says, I got a Christmas cactus. The blossoms fell off. How can I revive it? Your show is great. Well, thank you for that. Is that revivable?
Well, thank you. Sure. What happens when the blossoms fall off very easily when they're moved, when they change weather conditions? You're done for the year with that Christmas cactus. It flowers once a year. So now you'll just have a beautiful green foliage plant inside. You can put it outside, get it used to being outside, transition it outside, bring it in again in the fall, and it should start to set blossoms, and just put it in a place where it's not going to be knocked. It'll be just fine. And again, you could go to our extension website, and they have some great information on those Christmas cacti. Cactus.
Okay. I have, Texture says, a green variegated ivy that I brought in from last summer. I tried to cut off the vines, but they just don't seem to root. Any ideas what I can do?
What you might want to try is, instead of cutting them off, maybe make just a little tiny nick in the bottom of the vine, and then put a pot of soil next to there, and with a pin or a little U-shaped object, just or a little rock, just set that vine on the soil so that broken part of the vine actually touches the soil, and have the plant root out from there. It'll still get some nutrition from the mother plant, but eventually it should start to put down roots in that broken area. Then you can cut it off from the mother plant once that starts happening, and then you'll have a new plant.
Okay. This listener says this: I have a Chinese lilac that hasn't been blooming. It has a lot of branches. Would pruning some of them off help, do you think?
It could, but probably what you're dealing with is a lack of sunlight in that area. If it's not in full sun, it will eventually just not bloom for you. So if you want to prune it back again, you could look at pruning lilacs in the extension website. You may want to even give it a light fertilizer in the spring. However, whatever flower buds are there, they were set last year, so that's not going to help for this year's flowering. But if you need to maybe prune out and just lighten it up so more sunlight gets to more branches, that could possibly help to invigorate its growth with flowers.
Another pruning question, this time specifically for oak trees. Can you prune dead branches off oak trees still this month?
Yes, dead is dead. You want to get that out of there as quickly as possible. If you leave dead branches in trees, if we get winds like we're going to have today or a storm, that dead wood can actually break of living branches, or fall on somebody unexpectedly, or fall on your house or your car or your child or your dog. So you want to prune out dead stuff. You want to get that dead branch out right away as soon as possible.
That's a good point. Let's talk a little bit. Some folks may have missed your comments about the Master Gardener program or programs. Tell us again if you can in a minute.
Sure.
Or so.
Sure. And just before I do that, I just want to say hi to the nice lady I met at the Home and Garden Show yesterday. She listens to WCCO and loves it.
Oh,
anyway, so the Master Gardener programs, the interns are studying now, so we're getting a new crop of interns. We're excited about that. But all of the counties, or many of the counties, may have classes going on, and those classes are free to you. So check your local extension website to see if they have classes. Here in Hennepin County, we open our classes to everyone. We even get out of state, like from Colorado people listening to us. So they're free classes. We have two series coming up. We have veggie growing basics and winter dreaming summer eating classes, all about growing vegetables. You can find that at hennepinmastergardeners.org. Or if you get directed to our Facebook, you can find it there too. So there's lots of classes out there, and they're all free.
And I've asked you this before. Are you seeing, or are the folks in Master Gardener program seeing more, let's say, younger people and more guys instead of ladies?
We are. We have a really good mix of younger and older people. We're seeing a lot more younger people come in. That doesn't mean we don't want the people who know stuff. You know, if you're a little more advanced and aged, we still want you as a master gardener. So we want everybody to come into our program and learn about gardening and help to teach their neighbors and their community about gardening with research.
Because that's what it's about. As a master,
that's
you master gardeners are really educators, aren't you?
We're educators. That's what we do. We take research-based information from the university and share it with our community. We learn how to research and get good information for you so that what we're giving you isn't some weird woo-woo kind of stuff. We're giving you research science-based information so you can have success, because we want you to be successful.
And you know what we have not mentioned this morning as we take our leave is get to the Arboretum.
Oh, get to the Arboretum. They've got a beautiful flower show going on, and there's mosaics and mirrors in there. So, yeah, get to the Arboretum. You need that breath of green right now, and that'll maybe save you from starting your seeds too early.
And it's easy. You have to go online to reserve your spot. It makes parking really easy getting in there and enjoy it. Well, what a great weekend that would be.
Yeah, and it'll be a great weekend and a great day tomorrow to head out to the Arboretum, take a walk along 3 Mile Drive, just see the beauty that's around us.
Teresa, as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for helping us out this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Bye, everybody.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, coming along next hour, it's an encore performance, as we like to say. What that really means is the next hour with Andy Lindis has been pre-recorded, and it's a repeat performance that's coming along next hour. In the meantime, high today near 46, going to be a breezy day. We could hit 61 on Monday, but again, temperatures dropping, then back up again to 54 by the end of the week. Just a quick reminder, I'll be filling in for Susie Jones tomorrow morning. We're going to have our friend twisted his arm. Dr. David Hilden is going to be joining us on the Health Hour tomorrow morning, answering any kind of a health question you may have. So we hope you join us then here on News Talk 830 WCCO.